Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. You notice already on my voice, Brother Rus says, it will get better. A brother just now, he gave me the advice the next time not to plan again 5 days, at the most 3. And you can imagine how I could totally agree with that. Pardon? Not shaking your head from left to right, but from top to bottom. Yes. Oh yes, we are thankful to the Lord for every hour, for every word. It gets more and more precious to us. We feel that it goes into the depth and that we all have more of it than we had years back. It gets clearer, and for this we are grateful. Today we will speak about the prophetic ministry. Can you hear me properly? Even I speak like this? All right. I don't have to become louder. All right. Thank you. I just wanted to be sure. But should somebody feel like sleeping, then I will feel like to become louder. So this may not be. Let us, for this special subject that pertains to the prophetic realm, let us start with a word from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, the second part of verse 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20b. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Today we finished with a word from Matthew 12, that the Lord finished his work to victory. And we know that he fulfilled every word that ever came through the mouth of a prophet. And all scripture was fulfilled in him. Here we are told now, believe in the Lord your God. This we want to do. And to it is being said, so shall ye be established. And this we also want to be. We want to be certain. We want to have certainty. There may not be put a question mark behind that, what we believe and what we teach. There must be divine certainty in it. And as far as we can judge it, we didn't add anything to the word, and we have taken nothing away from it. We did not interpret it, but by revelation it was given to us. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. This is very important. Not when somebody comes and says, I'm a prophet. No kidding. I don't know how you felt, but I met a number of people who were really convinced of themselves to be prophets or prophetesses. The second is even worse than the first. But if it's really someone, then one will be able to test him on the word. A prophet of God will proclaim the word of God in truth. He will be a word prophet. So, believe not every prophet, but believe his prophets. One has to be certain that God made the choice. And did you hear it yesterday from the mouth of Brother Branham when he said, the first thing that I can remember is a vision which I have seen. From his childhood, this man was a prophet of God. At the age of 7, he already said that the Ohio Bridge will collapse, and it was only built 18 years later and collapsed. He was a prophet of God, from his mother's womb, ordained to be a prophet for the nations. That's how it is written in the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1. From your mother's womb, I have chosen you and ordained you to be a prophet for the nations. So not just a prophet, as it can be among the 5 ministries in the church, but a prophet of significance in the plan of salvation. Also, this is a difference. So, we want to be certain that if we believe a prophet, that it is a prophet confirmed by God, called by God, legitimized by God. And I believe this we may all say with all our heart. We are convinced that Brother Branham was a true prophet of the Almighty God. Is this right? We believe that God has sent him, right? We believe that with his sending, a purpose of divine significance is connected, right? And we believe that this purpose will come to its climax, and that the word sent by God will accomplish for what it was sent for. Now we want to come to our word observation. I want to embarrass you every now and then in these meetings by the word of the Lord, but only for a little moment, to then later on help you and to serve you, that we understand the things better. Now, just now we said that God has sent a prophet. Do you know what is written in Hebrews 1? God has spoken at sundry times and in divers manners through the prophets, and in the last days through his Son. And this is the scripture which all are using who cannot believe that God has sent a prophet in our time. They simply say, God has sent all the prophets. And then right at the end, he spoke in his Son. Amen. Then it's finished. And then nothing comes anymore. Only them. Them God has called. Namely them who reject what God has done. But they claim to have been set by God. Do you understand? The people put everything upside down. We read from Luke chapter 16. And also now we will have to receive grace from the Lord to place the several connections and to understand them. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So here it is written, the law and the prophets were until John. From that time on, the kingdom of God is preached by the gospel. How shall we understand this now? Very simple. The Old Testament prophets proclaimed with Malachi the whole plan of salvation of God. And in Christ, these prophecies became reality. He said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." John did the same. With him, the kingdom of God began. But can we do away with the Old Testament? Can we do away with the prophets? This will be difficult. This won't work. It will have to be the other way around. Namely, that we can place and understand what kind of purpose the prophets and also the law have. Hebrews 1, I already mentioned, God spoke, and then at the end, He revealed Himself in the Son. Let us read Luke 24. Luke 24 from verse 27. Here it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So Jesus didn't do away with the Old Testament prophets. The contrary, he read and proved to his disciples that all that, what they prophesied, came to fulfillment. Let us read from the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 23. Acts, chapter 28, verse 23. Here of Paul, the following is written. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. The apostles did not have a New Testament. The New Testament as canon, this means guideline, as we have it today, was composed by Athanasius. Until then, it were several letters that were handed around through the churches. Generally, all the men of God in the first 300 years of Christianity used the Old Testament for their proclamation. I've said it here before. If one would give to the today's preachers and the today's evangelists the same material, namely the Old Testament, they probably could hardly preach a sermon because they would not know where to start and how it has to go on. We read from Matthew chapter 5, 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5, 17 and 18. Here it is written, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled."
bis alles in Erfüllung gegangen ist. Also,
so, God's word remains God's word, whether in the prophets, whether in the books of Moses, whether in Kings or Judges, whether in the Psalms, whether in Jeremiah or Ezekiel, whether in the New or Old Testament, God's word remains God's word, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but not the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. Here we are told what we have to preach. I read it. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This we have to understand. There was something in the law, also at the time of Moses, that later on should be preached as a revelation. If somebody comes to you today and says, on a Sabbath, you can only walk 1 mile, then you can say, all right, then we go two, one two and one back. Why not? But that's not the point. It is about that part in the law that was thought to be a revelation, as an illumination. It is about the shadow images in the Old Testament, which then merge in the New Testament in the reality. It is not about to put here the law of Moses into practice and to establish a club and so forth, but to search where the Spirit of God gave hints to the future plan of salvation. Let us read on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here also Paul refers to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 20 and 21. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now we have here a term, namely the term law, and what is then quoted is not written in the law, but in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28. How shall we place this now? Here we are told, in the law it is written, and that what it is referred to is not written in the Torah, not in the 5 books of Moses, not in that what we call the law, but in the prophet Isaiah 28. Also this we find repeatedly in the New Testament, that every now and then the whole Old Testament is called the law. We will still read some precious scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, namely verse 34. Here Paul writes again a strange word. To not upset anyone, I only read the last part from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. For we do not intend to hurt anyone. But here it is written, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if you will search in the law, where this is written, it will be hard to find the place. It goes back before the law, before the law was given, namely to Genesis 3. And the law was given in Exodus 20. But the whole makes up a unity, and rightfully one could refer to it. Let us now go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We can read here verse 1 and then verse 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Then verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. God needed a measure. He needed a hold to rightfully convict us because of our transgressions and then to condemn us. And therefore, the law has come to grab us in our transgression, to put us into prison and to hand us over to punishment. But then came he who took this punishment on himself, and even the curse of the law he took upon him and bore everything for us, to make us free. And to it we read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We could now go into the other realm, into the law of the Spirit, by which we were taken out of the law of flesh, to in this way serve God as it is well-pleasing to Him. We also read Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Yes, Romans chapter 13 from verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Therein everything was summarized. What is written in all the prophets, in all the Psalms, what is written in the law of Moses, what is written in the Old Testament. He who loves his neighbor, he fulfills the law. Verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love your brother, then you will not take away his car. You will not take away his wife. You will not covet what is his. For the love of God urges you to fulfill what God requires in his word. For we are not loose. We have to meet the requirements. And to do so, God has given us the possibility by his grace. Now we go over to the prophetic part, namely to that part that applies to us, that applies to this time, that applies to the prophetic part. Also, this has been placed nicely in the Word of God. But I tell you, it is nevertheless difficult to place everything correctly, provided God helps us to do so. And we are convinced that he will help us by his grace. Let us start with a promise from the prophet Malachi, the last chapter, the last verses. Here it is written, some Bibles have four chapters, others three. That's why I say in the last chapter, the last verses. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. So far, this wonderful word. And if you would ask the scribes, they all would give you the same answer. This was fulfilled long ago. This was John the Baptist. But let me read you the place that refers to John the Baptist. From Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. You can read it in Mark chapter 1, in the first three verses. It is being referred to John the Baptist and to his ministry. Likewise, to the two scriptures, Malachi 3, verse 1, and Isaiah 40, verse 3. Here, the same prophet, by prophecy, lets us know that the prophet Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Since the ministry of John the Baptist, almost 2,000 years have passed, and the terrible day of the Lord has not yet come. We are still in the day of salvation. We are still in the day of grace. So, the promise or the prophecy was not fulfilled then. We will show this from the New Testament very clearly, and also prove that the Lord promised to send prophets and teachers. Partly we dealt with it, and we will still touch upon it. Let us read Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is the connection with the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, from verse 1 to verse 8. The mighty event of the Transfiguration on the mountain is described to us. And as you can remember, Moses and Elijah were also on the mountain, right? This you can read in Matthew 17, verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. So, now we go to verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? So, the scribes knew the word. Perhaps in this case a bit better than a Peter who was a fisherman, or others who were not reading the word in such a way and who were not so skilled as the scribes. But it's really strange that the scribes were not taught by God. And those who were not scribes, they were taught by God. Not much has changed in that to this day. But the scribes knew the Bible and claimed that Elijah has to come first. You all know, when Jesus hang on the cross and cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, what is written after this? They said, Let us see whether Elijah comes. Do you all know the Bible? Certainly. They misunderstood. They knew it is written, but they could not place it. Today, we have it better. At that time, the prophecies were written for the first coming, for the second coming, for the third coming. Everything was written in the Bible. How should they discern what was fulfilled when and in which connection? Now we read verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. This is, whoever knows grammar, written in future tense. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Yes, but it goes on. Many would like to stop here and read not verse 12 anymore. But we belong to them who would like to read every verse, who do not want and cannot suppress anything, but who thank God that He gave us clarity. So, Matthew 17, verse 12. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. What now? There the Lord says, Elijah must and will come to restore all things. A clear statement. And right afterward, I say unto you, Elijah has come already, and they did with him what they liked. What is correct now? Both. Amen. This was not loud enough. With me you can do this, as the Baptist did it with a Pentecostal preacher. I keep on preaching anyway. Even you say amen. But I love to preach when I hear it sometimes. All right. John came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. But pay attention. He himself says that it wasn't him at all. What now? Now we come in very big trouble. Now there are major difficulties with the theologians. Not with us. Not with us. Not after the Lord has spoken with us. Gospel, John chapter 1. Gospel, John chapter 1 from verse 19. Here it is written. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And to this we say Amen. This is true. He was not Christ. Verse 21. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he says, No, I am not. What now? The Lord says, Elijah has come, and they did with him what they liked, and by this he referred to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is asked, Art thou Elijah? And he says, No, I am not. And if you then, yes, thank you, brother Bogomolitz. This was nice. Here then, the scripture says in verse 23, He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Amen. The man of God knew the scriptures which referred to him and his ministry. There was no if and no but a clear answer referring to the Holy Scripture. We still read on. Luke chapter 1. And you notice already how scattered these things are, but how nicely they can be put together. Here, in Luke chapter 1, it speaks of the birth of John the Baptist. And here, the following is said of him. Luke 1, from verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. To to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, of the turning of the hearts of the children to the fathers, nothing is said here. Only the first part from the prophecy of the prophet Malachi that referred at that time to his ministry. This was quoted here by the angel. The second part was missing. It continues then, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Exactly this John the Baptist did through his ministry. He prepared the way for the Lord. He leveled the uneven, the high he brought low. What do you think how the dignitaries felt who were highly esteemed among the people but who didn't want to be baptized? But they came there to test him. He said, now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Don't think that you will escape the future judgment. He made the high things low, and the low things he exalted. Why? So that the glory of God could be manifested. And it was manifested. For thus it is written, and all the ends of the earth shall see the glory of God. Now, we see that in Bible prophecy, everything was spoken out very precisely. But likewise, it must be placed correctly, so that one knows the connections and also understands them. Now we read from the book of Acts, the second chapter, and then also from the third. Acts chapter 2, here we find the first sermon of Peter, and it probably makes us wonder that he included both the beginning and the end. He refers to the prophet Joel, and I read here from the book of Acts 2, from verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and glorious day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know how much is contained in this one sermon? Sons and daughters are we, the New Testament Church. Servants and handmaidens, this is Israel. and then sun and moon will be darkened. This is already the day of the Lord. Peter, a man of God, has spoken out various things in one breath. We can place it today. Did we get it? Sons and daughters, ye who ye were not my people, ye shall be called sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We received the sonship. Therefore we say, Abba Father. When we then go to Revelation 7, there it is written, Hurt not the earth, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then we know very well, this refers to the 144,000. Also here, we could look up many scriptures, but in the moment we deal with the subject that God would send a prophet at the end of the time of grace. But in the last prophetic part of the plan of salvation, and at that time, all mysteries of the Word and of the Kingdom of God would be revealed. How often Brother Branham referred to it. He knew that it was the ministry to which God ordained him to bring the hidden mysteries to light. And since that has taken place, we may see it. So, we cannot claim that with the prophets of the Old Testament, any prophetic ministry has ceased. Of course, what concerned prophecy, there was no need of anyone who would have prophesied on Christ, for Christ was come already. Therefore, it is written of John that he was more than a prophet, but not more than a man. This the American brothers have totally misunderstood and misled the people. Also here, one has to read every word precisely. Jesus said, I say unto you, he was more than a prophet. And thus we have to leave it. The prophets prophesied unto Christ. John could say, he is in our midst. He made the bridge between prophecy and fulfillment. He could say, behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So, more than a prophet. He could point to the fulfillment of the biblical prophecy. If we now speak about Brother Branham, then we also must say the same. He was more than a prophet in that sense that he didn't pose a prophecy, but that he showed the post-prophecy in its realization and manifested it. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. There have been many prophets, also still in the New Testament. Take Paul. Take Peter. How did they speak with a prophetic farsightedness of the last days, of the day of the Lord, of the times which would come? But at the end of days, at the end of the time of grace, God has sent a man, as we heard of it last night. He was really more than a prophet. The ministry that the pillar of fire would have been over a person, and that the Lord was with him in such a way. This wasn't so with Paul, and not with Peter. This was the ministry of Jesus Christ that took place here in our generation through a very simple tool. Just be very sincere now. Could God still have found a man who was more simple, born into this world? You all remember his testimony. It was not only a wooden house, but a wooden hut through which the wind and rain and snow blowed. A miserable hut. But the man or the child which was born there, 3 hours later, the pillar of fire hang over the head of this newborn child. And those who saw it, they asked themselves, what shall be with this boy? God knew it, and we also know it today. Praise be to the living God. I'm grateful to the Lord for these mighty testimonies. Of us it is being said that we leave Brother Branham out of our proclamation. This is actually a good rumor and a very nice assessment. Because if we would make him the center of our proclamation, then we would be absolutely wrong. We neither make Paul nor Peter, not Abraham, and not Elijah, not Moses or someone, to the center of our proclamation. We preach Christ, the crucified one, the risen one. But we like to mention that what God has done through his prophets, through his servants, and through his apostles. This is a very big difference. Here, we don't have the name of the prophet whom God used in a special way so much in our mouths, but the word revealed by God through him, this we carry in grateful hearts. And this is the big difference. Many might have spoken of John, and they didn't know for what he was sent for. It is always about the core, about the main thing, and also there about the correct placing. Not that we put a tool into the focus into which the Lord belongs. Far from it. The 7 messengers, the 7 angels, were in the right hand of the Lord. And because they are in his hand, therefore he could use them in such a mighty way. And I'm convinced, as we said already in one of the meetings, and as it is also written, he who is ready to do the will of God, he will find out whether this doctrine is of God. We read it, that the Lord wanted to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. I read you still some scriptures in which the Lord has spoken of that he would send prophets and apostles. Also in the New Testament, Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. So, nobody can tell us that there are no prophets anymore. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. If it is then about the plan of salvation, then he has the right to call a word prophet and to set him in the universal church, a man to whom the word comes, to whom it is revealed, and who then can pass it on to the people. We read also in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 23, Matthew 23, there the Lord also points to it, that he wants to send prophets, wise men and teachers. Matthew 23, verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and teachers. So, we have the promise after the ministry of John the Baptist, already in the beginning of the New Testament, that the Lord wanted to send prophets and wise men, not scribes, who sat at the feet of a Gamaliel, but men who are taught by God in the Scripture, to whom the Scripture is revealed, who add nothing to it and take nothing away from it. And here I may most certainly make the remark, when Brother Branham was asked, or when he was told, when the seven seals and the seven thunders would be revealed, this will be something that is not written in the Bible. And Brother Branham says, literally, I immediately grabbed that spirit who spoke. At the moment, I don't have a better word for that. I immediately grabbed that spirit who was saying this. And then he gave the answer. Never will God do something that would be outside of his word. And on this we stand. How many religious fantasies are in these days? Wool gatherings and interpretations, as there are astrologers, so there are interpreters of the message. And they don't know that they have gone out of the word and have turned their back to the truth, because they didn't understand the said things properly, let alone having it placed correctly. Be honest. Does anybody of you have a hard time with any sermon which Brother Branham preached? Do you have problems with it? Does someone have to come to your house to interpret it for you? You have just like me, of the seventh seal, of seven thunders, of the first, second, and third pull, of all the various things we have read. But we have the grace to leave it up to God, how he will do and fulfill all these things. This is the big difference. We may not and cannot go beyond that what is written here. This is impossible. The Holy Scripture is the finished and complete testimony of God. And therefore it is written right at the end that woe unto him who adds unto the words of the prophecy of this book, or who takes something away from it. When the seven thunders uttered their voices, a word of the Lord came. Write not what the seven thunders uttered, but seal it. Right? Write not what the seven thunders uttered. I rather read it to you, so that you know that it is written. For there are people who say, we withhold from the people some things. But that they fool the people, this they don't say. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. I read even more. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Are the seven thunders written in it? I didn't hear properly. Thank you, brother. I wished all would show that their hands and arms are not paralyzed. So, who is blessed? Who is blessed? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Everything what is written, God has revealed in its meaning. I don't believe that there is still one point which we have to know that would not have been revealed. It is written, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God is finished. As he declared it to whom? To his servants, the prophets. So, at the end of days, there had to be a prophetic ministry, so that also this scripture finds its fulfillment. As he declared it to his servants, the prophets. And with this, we come to the word from Amos chapter 3, verse 7. God does nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So, there had to be a prophet of God to reveal the secrets. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. But let us have reverence before God and before the revealed word, that we not once again as scribes breathe over it and then this and that comes out of it. Leave it the way God revealed it. Don't interpret anything, but have reverence and accept it as it is. For the rest, God will take care when the time is ripe for it. The most terrible what can happen to us is to get impatient. And then we bring everything upside down. When the thunder friends wanted to bring about the coming of the Lord, and even at the Dutch-Belgium border, they were renting a hall with exactly 120 seats, like in the upper room, so that everything is right and could be made credible. And what was it? Quarreled, they went into all four directions. And so it is until this very day. Nobody needs to appoint a place or a time when the Lord comes. When He comes, then we will know it. There comes now something into my mind. I have to say it now, so that you laugh a bit. Some precious sister was reading to another lady from the sermon with the title The Rapture. That Brother Branham is said to have said, the coming of the Lord will be between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning. And when this sister reads it to the lady, then she starts yelling and says, then I'm not part of it, for I usually sleep until 10. This had to be now. You know very well that I don't belong to them who take the matter of God easy. But how quickly the people misunderstand some things. Instead of saying then, there's anyhow a time difference, and time and hour nobody knows anyway. Also there, Brother Branham had to make some statements on which the scribes find it a hard nut to crack. And then they say, the prophet has said it. And he said it for the reason that they should stumble over it and nothing else. It forever remains what is written. Time and hour nobody knows. That's how God's word says it. But in the same way it is written that we should be vigilant because we don't know when the Lord comes. How many of those who claim that He has come in 63 were only converted in 68? I even know some who converted in 69 and others who converted in 74. And who claim today the Lord has come 1963. This a man has to imagine. And then such people stand before you and say, I have been raptured. No, not like this. Not with me. Remaining sober and clear until the last hour. Do you know what? The more spiritual a child of God is, the more sober and the more clear it is. A person who thinks to be spiritual, but who starts somehow to swim, there you can have doubts. For such people have lost the balance. Let us remain sober and clear in God, in earthly things, in the Word, in everything what we have to do until the last hour and until the last day of our life to plan. For we don't know when our last day will be. And therefore, it is necessary to remain sober and clear. And I know the Lord has a church on earth which will not deviate from the word. Just the contrary, which will be even more established in the word. And it is written, so that our heart is established, which happens through grace. It's a great grace to receive the greatest revelations of God and to remain small and to be sober. What was with Brother Branham? He went hunting. He was a man who went fishing. He was in the midst of life. I've been in his house. He was washing dishes in the kitchen. He also operated the vacuum cleaner. Brother Ruth says, oh, yes, yes, that's how it is. We think a prophet, this is a man with a long face and is distant from real life, everything at its place. To the children, a father. To the wife, a husband. To God, a prophet. To the church, the service. Everything in the realm, and every realm is lifted out and left there where it belongs. Also this now, in closing of this holy observation, shall serve for our acceleration. For God's word is holy. But when one of the brothers who believe that William Branham is Jesus Christ, when he told me some things, then it was also too much for me. Because he said to me that William Branham has spoken his children into existence. They were the result of the spoken word. And then he also said, this is a secret which I don't know yet. Then I taught him better, and I said to him, there are some secrets which I don't know yet, but the secret with the children, this I know already. There are really people, you will not believe it, but there are people on earth who have become unsober. They began to go nuts. They have lost the ground under their feet. What do you think? How grateful I am in my heart for all of you, that you remained clear and sober in the Word of God. And to the young people, I would like to say, if you want to get married, do it as soon as you can. Don't think, maybe the Lord comes. Stop it. When he comes, there is still time. But no time to marry as now. So, always the things one after the other. Sober, clear in all things. Whoever wants to build a house, do it, but don't take a loan. Yes, you know already what the Lord wants to tell us. It is about soberness and clarity to remain with both feet on earth, but with a heart in heaven, to let earthy things be earthy, to let divine things divine, everything in its realm into which it belongs. And then also your and my difficulties stop. God bless us all. Amen. Amen. We stand up. Faithful God, we really see it. It is this day and this hour which you prepared for us by your grace. We worship you and praise your wonderful name. You have set forth everything to us in clarity, that not even a fool can go astray. Receive the honor and the praise once again, Lord, from all our hearts and mouths. We as your people worship you, Lord, and glorify your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. My God, continue to be with us, Lord. Also in the meantime, bless us. and let us tonight have the Lord's Supper, remembering you, Lord, what you have done, great things for us. O Lord, we worship you and glorify your grace from eternity to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.